This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Hey, Marie, move the projector. Your projector's been bumped off the screen. Can you? Nope. There you go, the other way.
Rollison down here in Opa-locka again. We're trying to get the meeting started for the committee for contracts and the contract review committee. Is somebody there can call the roll for me, please?
Good morning. Frank Rollison.
Present.
Anita Nelson.
Present.
Angela Connect.
Present.
Kim Mills.
Present.
J.D. Patterson. Marie Walker.
Present.
And Melinda Miguel.
Present.
That's everyone.
Good morning, everybody, and I'll call the November 29, 2016 meeting contract review committee to order. I know it's a big one. The first order of business is the approval of the previous committee meeting minutes from October 26, 2016. If anybody has any comments or changes to deletions, they can come forward with them.
We're having trouble hearing you from Tallahassee. Can you maybe adjust the volume there? And then how is the sound for us up here?
You sound good. We can hear you well here. Let's see. Heading over to the board. Is this any better? I'm a little closer to the mic.
Yes, that's a lot better. Thank you.
All right, we'll move forward. I'm saying the first order of business is to approve the previous committee meeting minutes from October 26th of 2016. If anybody has any comments, changes, additions, or deletions, we'll entertain those at this time.
Frank, this is Kim. I have a question.
Go ahead.
On the first page on the members present, it indicates Vernita joined the meeting at 10:25, but then we say that the meeting was called to order at 3:10. So was that a note from another meeting?
Yeah, that was probably a note from the meeting.
Right. So that's I will call that a Scrivener's error, and we can.
Okay.
Any Any other comments, additions, deletions from anybody? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended, with moving that note on Bernita out of the minutes.
So moved. Or I'll second that, Bernita. Thank you.
And all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. All right, the minutes are approved. The next item of business is to review the current invoices that have been submitted. And I met out here with staff on, I think it was November 3rd. We went over these. And or was it the 22nd? I don't remember. Third, it was the third one. 22nd? 22nd. Right. Okay. So we met out here on the 22nd. We went over these invoices. And what you should have is we can start with the water and sewer fund. You should have in front of you the synopsis that gives you the list of all of the invoices. The only one that I want to have some discussion on that I'll bring forward, and of course we can discuss any of them that you want. All of these jive with the invoices, and they have their proper backup to make the payment. Universal Waste Services, and we also have that on the agenda as number 5 to discuss the contract or the agreement or the status of that. And the two go hand in hand. But where we are currently with UWS is that they still have not satisfied the administration of Opa-locka with the information that they requested to try to reconcile the problems that they're having with the franchise fees, et cetera. There's still the letter in place of the finding them in default by the city attorney, and that has not been cured. And as you recall, we went back a couple of months ago, and we brought UWS up currently from being in arrears to, one, to keep the business going and keep the trash being collected here in the city. But also there was a commitment from UWS that the information that Opa-locka was requesting was going to be forthcoming. That has not happened. I have the packet that they have delivered to the state, that Patty Nelson delivered to me. I've been through that, the hodgepodge of invoices. It doesn't really reconcile anything. I don't know if the thought is that they'll supply all this stuff to us, and then we're going to sit down and try to reconcile and figure out what is what. So in my opinion, my recommendation to the committee is that we don't make any more payments to UWS, whether it's on the residential side, which we make the payments on, which is about $72,000, $73,000 a month. Not only are they having problems with getting reconciliation on the commercial side, but we got problems with reconciling roll-offs. We got problems with reconciling a number of trash containers that are out there. I mean, some very simple stuff of who owns what and who does it belong to. Those things have not been satisfied to the administration or, and again, I'm saying to the administration, this is a discussion that I've had with the city manager, that they're still waiting for stuff to come. So my recommendation is that maybe we got some movement the last time when we held back the pay, and I'm recommending that we pull this one also. So I'll throw that out to the committee, and anybody wants to have their say, please jump in.
If I may add to what Jonathan was saying, a couple of things. One, this information provided, I believe, to Frank.
We can't hear you in Tallahassee. I'm sorry. Is there? I know we're having some sound difficulty. We're at the max of our volume, and it's very low. So I don't know if there's anything that maybe IT can do to help.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Okay, hold on a moment. Let me see if I switch my skills.
All right, I apologize.
Can you hear me now?
A little better, yes. The volume is still real low.
Okay, sorry. We're working on it. Nelson is fiddling with
us. Okay, thank you.
Testing. Can you hear me now?
That is better.
Better to the point where I can continue, or better to the point where we need to do some more with our volume?
If there's any way to do more with the volume without making ours on this end too uncomfortable down there, I think we're good to go.
Okay. It's up as high as it'll go. We probably need
okay. All right. Thank you. I just want to make sure we don't miss anything.
Thank you. I wanted to add to what Frank was saying.
Better.
The information that Frank received from Patty was initial information that was provided to us by UWS. Subsequently, as of last week, UWS provided two lengthy spreadsheets purportedly to assist us in reconciling the invoices. I actually could not figure out what it was that I was looking at because they have various codes or what have you that they use in their database, I presume. And so I sent Mr. Spezio an email asking that we have another teleconference so that I can find out exactly what it is he thought or meant to send us. So to that end, it's not that we don't have any information. We actually have a lot of information. It's just that based on what I know and what I understand, we haven't been able to reconcile what we've been told. And there are some, for example, there were a couple of invoices that I saw that I had questions about that Mr. Spezio has indicated he'd be more than willing to talk to us about. So I just wanted to just throw that out there in terms of the information that we've been provided by UWS. Also, I have a concern, the very same concern that was raised by Mr. Rollison a few months ago regarding UWS, regarding the withholding of the payment on the residential side. The residential contract and the commercial contracts are separate. The issues that we're having are with the commercial contract, which includes the roll-offs, et cetera. I'm concerned that unless we come up with a viable alternative, which I am not opposed to, failure to pay UWS could very well end up with us having trash left on the street. And that was a concern that was previously raised by Mr. Rollison, and that's a concern that I currently share today. So if that is if withholding of the payment is the will of this body, that's fine. I just would like the body to also provide me with the authority to look for an alternative in the event that UWS decides to stop actually servicing the city.
This is Frank again. Number one, we keep saying, or the management says, or the administration says that two separate contracts, but every time they come before the commission for any action, they are married together as a group. So that's how it's presented to the commission, and I think one is inherently tied to the other. The other thing is I think the manager already has the authority to do whatever is required under the emergency operations of the city if something like this were to happen. If this individual decided that they would stop picking up trash, that becomes a health, welfare, safety issue for this community, and the manager certainly has the authority on an emergency basis to do whatever action needs to take place. I don't know specifically what their charter says, but it probably has to be documented and later brought before the commission for ratification of that action that was taken. But I feel that in all fairness, over the months that we've been dealing with this, there's been ample opportunity for UWS to come forward with whatever information was necessary, even if it required a trip down here to sit down for a day and go through all their documents and get this stuff reconciled. And yet, here we are now in November, and we're right back where we were back in August, July and August, and it's not done. So they seem to respond to the issue of not getting a paycheck, and if that's, they're going to hold the city hostage that, you know, you're going to have trash on the streets, which I don't believe that's going to happen, then I think that it's, you know, it's up to us as a committee to recommend to the board what actions should be taken that will help this city get financially straight. And this is a big cash flow item every month, and they are not living up to the contract on either side. As far as picking up trash, that may be, but now we have an issue that if they go away, they're going to take all the containers, they belong to them, and that type of thing. So I think they need to come to have that type of a meeting with the administration to get it squared away. When they do, to the satisfaction of the administration, and they can convince us that everything is on the up and up, then I'll be more than happy to recommend that they start paying payment again. But right now my recommendation is we withhold it. So anybody else want to jump in?
Frank, I support what you're saying, and I think that, you know, we can always convene an emergency meeting to trigger payment at such point that that their behavior comes into compliance with your expectations as the chair. I think that what you've outlined is reasonable, and I support what you're suggesting.
Okay. I have a couple of questions about the invoice. Dated November 1st, 2016. Is it for services rendered for the month of November or the month of October?
You said it's dated November 1st?
Yes, ma'am.
It's usually for that November.
So November. Okay, so they're not finished with providing services for the month of November because it's November 29th, correct?
That's correct.
So we do have some leeway to hold off on paying this, work out the details with them to get an understanding, and then come back to pay this. And you're not going to be in default?
We do have some leeway.
Okay.
At least about 10 days.
Okay. Okay. Satisfy the board's questions, I can agree with Frank on the basis of the fact that the services haven't been completed for this month, even though we've been invoiced, they haven't been completed for this month, and this will give Yvette an opportunity to comb through the data you received and review this, Frank, and bring it back to the board.
Any comments from any member of the committee?
I'm sorry, give me just a moment. I have to confirm something.
Hang on, we're doing a little staff inquiry here.
Frank, while you're doing that, before we proceed, has the Contract Review Committee had the opportunity to do any kind of demand letter, and or what type of demand letter has been provided, or letter kind of requesting or outlining the expectations to UWS has been provided from the city to them?
You're saying from the city to UWS? What kind of demand letter?
Yeah, has the city actually put in writing some of the concerns of all the documentation that's been provided to explain the continued non-compliance or the lack of resolution of some of the information that's been provided?
I'm sorry. Let me see if I understand your question. Yes, there's been a demand letter. You mean, has there been a subsequent or supplemental demand based on the information that we've received? Not formally. I've sent in writing, yes, because there are emails from Mr. Cizio asking or advising that the information that we received was not sufficient for us to complete the reconciliation. But there has not been another formal demand made, enumerating what it is that we don't have based on the information.
Would it be something that maybe Vince Brown could engage on to articulate the continued deficiencies in their response so that the city could ensure compliance with the contract?
Vincent, I outlined in an earlier demand, but I think it was issued maybe in July or August, advising them of the sections of the agreement which they were in violation of. Which is very clear if they follow the contract lays out the provisions. They are in violation of them. Is there any additional information that's needed? The subsequent letter, staff could provide that information. I'll go ahead and forward that to UWS and their council.
I want to be clear, however, that the demand letter only speaks to the commercial, correct?
Vince? Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So there has not been a demand as we have not had a default on the residential, right? Vince?
Frank just provided me his response. But the issue that we had that prompted the issuance of a notice of default and request to cure dealt solely with the commercial and not the residential. And their letter of September 6th from their attorney kind of goes to some issues that they had with the RFP that the commission has dealt with. So the issues regarding the default clearly solely focuses on the commercial contract, which they were in breach of, are in breach of at this time, and they remain in breach of. And what the staff has been trying to do is assist them in remedying the breach. And from my understanding, the information has been provided by UWS has been insufficient and lacking in order for staff to determine whether the default has been cured. But if you wish for another letter to be issued, we will do that and get it out to them immediately.
It may be helpful to articulate our intent or the city's intent to withhold payment on the residential side to request and leverage that opportunity, as Frank suggested, to bring the UWS officials into a conversation to resolve these. I truly believe that if they're not in default on the residential side, technically, and they've demonstrated some willingness to provide information, it's just the information is not reconcilable or it's not clear, that potentially that demonstrates that they are willing to engage in good faith with a further explanation. So I don't want to take an adversarial maneuver on the residential side. If we're willing to do a demand letter from the city of sorts to articulate our intent to withhold, absent some good faith effort on their part to come down and explain and work with us and produce additional documentation. It just seems to me that if we've got a demand letter in July and then an RFP issue later and we don't have anything current in writing about residential, that it would be advisable to create a natural path and next steps in writing to cover the city from any litigation or conjecture, speculation about a breach on the residential side.
Let me say this. The two contracts, when they were prepared and drafted back in 2014, they were issued under two separate resolutions and under a separate ordinance. Therefore, it is apparent that the contracts are mutually exclusive, and to tie one to another may seem to be a challenge unless the city puts itself in what is called a set-off position and will withhold on the residential only as a set-off for the damages that are accruing on the commercial side. That would maybe be the only path to get to where Frank is suggesting and the Contracts Review Committee and maybe the board is suggesting. But I think that it is a prudent path to take by issuing another letter. Then we can get them to the table to discuss the remedies of the defaults that need to be had.
This is Chris Frank again. I think there are some issues on the residential side that have not been complied with also. Aren't there some issues dealing with some documentation that we've asked them to supply with a number of pickups, number of places that's been serviced on the residential side, that when you get the invoice, that the invoice doesn't stipulate number of houses, a number of pickups? It's just a blanket invoice that tells you.
Invoice. I'm sorry, say that again, Frank.
Well, there's no backup on this. In other words, I'm looking at this invoice and it says, this is a total invoice for 11-1, rubbish removal, a number of pickups, I assume that's pickups. It says one, quantity one, so I assume that's a bulk amount. And there's a total amount of $72,909.90. There's no backup on keeping. There's no backup on the number of facilities that have been serviced. I mean, there's no backup that comes with this. You get an invoice.
And at the residential side?
That's on the residential side.
Right, on the residential side.
And to answer,
I see where you're going, Frank.
I'm sorry, Ms. McGill. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I see where Frank's going, that without some detail on the residential invoices, that I can see where his recommendation is kind of twofold. One, if we don't have detail on the commercial, then that's one thing, but we can also still require backup documentation and detail on invoices for residential or commercial. So I do see where you're going, and a single line item for $72,000 with a date is not sufficient detail, in my opinion, for payment.
Okay. If I may, the 72 is the sum of the number of residential properties that we identified or that were identified in the contract multiplied by, I believe, 2515 or something. I don't know the exact amount that we are that we're being charged for each pickup for each house. The invoice amount doesn't change because the amount of home. Well, in fairness, the amount of homes have changed and increased, or the amount of properties that they're picking up from under this agreement have increased. However, they have not increased the amount that they're charging us. The invoice amount is pretty much the same across the board because it's simply a calculation between the number of homes that were identified in the original agreement multiplied by, I believe, 25.18 or something like that. It's some number that's stagnant. So I believe that very well may be why there's no backup, if you will, because the necessary backup was inherent in the agreement itself. The backup to the ask for it may be the list of all the homes that they pick up from, and in fairness, that may actually cause us to pay more because now they're going to it's acknowledged that there are more homes now than there were when the agreement was first established. I have absolutely no problem asking Mr. Spezio for that backup. I just need to make the board aware as to where that number comes from.
I see. Okay. In terms of the weight of the trash that's going through the transfer station, does that have any bearing on the value of the invoice? And how do items that are not environmentally safe or they're rejected for whatever reason at the transfer station, how are those handled and then transferred and billed back to the city?
I actually don't know in terms of the items that are not environmentally safe, how they're handled. I'd have to find out from staff. Okay, I apologize. I was speaking with staff. With respect to materials that are not environmentally safe, that's handled by the carrier, i.e. UWS. So I'm not sure what it is that they do with the materials. Again, we can ask and have them supply us with information, but that's something that they handle. with respect to the transfer station itself, I know that originally under, I believe, the one of the amendments to the contract commercial, there was a mention of the transfer station and a certain number of containers that were that was supposed to exist at the station. We, the city, has exceeded that number. Actually, we doubled that number, and that additional amount is what we're charged for in terms of the.
Okay, we've lost sound.
No, no, you haven't. I just, I'm sorry.
Oh. Okay, okay. I think there's also a video delay, so.
Okay, well, as far as the transfer amount, I have to get back to you on that. There's some inconsistency between the staff and the understanding under the agreement. So I need to find out exactly what's being done as far as the transfer amount is concerned. But as far as the residential is concerned, that's the amount that appears on that invoice, and I believe that's the amount that should be pretty consistent based on the agreement.
Let me ask this. There's a transfer station and there's tipping fees. How are the tipping fees being handled?
Two different things.
What are you asking, Frank?
The tipping fees. Who pays the tipping fees? Is that in this? Is that in this amount? Or are you telling me this is the amount just by multiplying out the houses? They take the trash, they take the garbage, they dump it, they weigh it. There's a tipping fee. How's that being paid?
Contractor pays those fees to whomever they're dealing
right.
with.
So they pay it out of there. It's not.
We're not being billed for tipping fees. If that's what you're
You don't pay tipping fees.
We pay tipping. Okay, listen. All of these questions, I apologize. You are not prepared for them. So let's do this, Frank. If you can get me a list of your concerns and questions, I'll get the staff, get them for you, and then we'll come back and let you know what we come up with. I don't want to belabor this point with like questions that you won't hear. I apologize.
While you're considering those questions.
This is squared away and we're satisfied, even on the residential side of how this works, I'm recommending that this invoice be held off.
I have a question for you, Mr. Chair. When the staff are working together to kind of describe the workflow and describe the terms of both sets of contracts and the compliance points, I'm curious also if there are public works city employees that are actually at the transfer site that are double checking and verifying the weights and the amounts of trash that are offloaded, or if that's done by UWS employees without any checks or balances. I'm curious, based upon the 32-hour work week, if we have transfer station operations going on without verification by city employees from an internal control perspective. So if they would consider that in their analysis when they get back to us on the details.
I apologize, Mr. Miguel. I'm not certain. There are two issues. One, there is staff from Public Works that mans the transfer station on a weekend basis, which is when the transfer station is open. There, however, is not a weight or scale at the transfer station, and so we would have no way of checking or verifying the amount that UWS is claiming to be picking up. As far as, we don't have an individual who actually shadows the contractor to the dumping site. So that part of it, you're right. We don't have, there is no verifiable process in place for that. However, there is an individual at the transfer station. Months ago, we received authorization to allow our public works employees to rotate at the transfer station for the very purpose of monitoring. Initially, it was for the purpose of monitoring and making sure that the things were done properly at the transfer station. To replace WS because they had stopped actually manning the transfer station. But now it's more of a monitoring aspect. But I, with that said, I don't know what it is that you're needing us to include in the report other than that.
I think you've answered it by the fact that there is no scale at the transfer station and no verifiable means to determine what UWS is providing at the transfer station. I think that answer is on point, so I appreciate it.
Ms. Miguel, if I may, staff has just advised me that, and I apologize, I don't know how this waste hauling thing works, but what I've been told is that based on the size of the container, they're able to ascertain approximately how much in weight that container would hold, and that is the basis upon which we determine whether or not, or the amount that UWS is charging us the right amount.
Okay, so is it like based on the cubic inch, cubic foot size?
No,
based on the cubic yard.
The cubic yard does not take into consideration what the weight is. They could be hauling 30 cubic yards of lead or 30 cubic yards of feathers.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure. Again, I think we need to both – I need to go through that contract again, too, because I've still got to hang up on the tipping fees. Without the detail, I can't talk to understand that for this amount of money, they're doing all the pickups throughout the city, and they're absorbing the tipping fees when they go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, to verify it, they get a ticket, a weight ticket, when they go through the scales. And those weight tickets, to back up the auditing of the tipping fees, those weight tickets are provided so that when the external auditor comes and goes through the documents, those are reconciled. If they're saying the contract requires UWS to pay all the tipping fees out of the fees that we're being billed here, that should be very clear in the contract. So, listen, the month is not finished. There's a lot of questions about this invoice. There's a lot of documentation that I think is due from this company, and I still stand by my recommendation to withhold this until that this stuff is reconciled.
I agree with the caveat. Could we table it pending resolution?
Okay. I'll accept a motion to withhold payment. Is that what we're saying when we say table it?
Let's just table the item pending UWS complying with our request and the city's letter.
All right. There's a motion to table this particular invoice. Is there a second?
Second.
I apologize. Are we tabling Frank's suggestion that we don't pay them, or are we tabling? I need to know what we're doing. I apologize.
Can we just table it and not take a motion and not take a vote so that there's no official action by this committee to give UWS the room to comply?
Okay. So we're tabling this item out of the packet until there is further documentation. Is that the motion?
Okay.
We're taking no action.
We're not going to take an official action, and we're not. I don't think we need to take a vote to table.
Okay, let's just withdraw it from the package. So, can I do this? Does anybody have any other questions on the package?
I do, Vernita. I have one more question on the UWS invoice. Is it for commercial, or is it for residential, or is it combined all into one?
It's residential.
It's residential.
For the month of November.
Okay, thank you.
I think that was Kim, right? Was that Kim speaking?
Yes, that was Kim. I'm sorry. Thank you.
And that was my question, too. Been looking at the invoice, so you probably don't have it in front of you. It is for residential. It's for services in the month of November 2016, which has not ended. So we do have a bit of time to ask them to come back and provide detail of a breakdown of this $72,909.
Thank you.
So if to move this along, I would entertain a motion. Well, somebody had another question on another invoice, so we can handle that one, and then we'll do a motion to approve the invoices minus these whatever questions we have. So what's the other invoice that there's a question on? on this one, then I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the board the payment of the water and sewer invoices as presented November 29, 2016, minus the invoice for Universal Waste Services.
Second, this is Kim.
Water and sewer, because that's where it is. It's in the water and sewer. I've got a question of why this is in water and sewer. Utilities, I mean, well, I can go with utilities, but the packet I have from Opelika is water and sewer. Right? That's what the fund is? Right. No, in some cities, it's water, sewer, and solid waste, and it's called utilities. But they call it water and sewer, and they have the trashes in there, too. So anyway, back to the motion. It's a motion to approve the invoices minus the Universal Waste Services under the topic of water and sewer fund.
Frank Gasol.
We've got a motion. We have a second.
This is Vernita. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. All right. So water and sewer minus that has now taken place. All right. The next one is the general fund. On this one, the only one that I have questions about is number six on there. You'll see in red is the invoice for the Brown Law Group. Merritt came on board. We were advised that he was in the process of attempting to negotiate a change in the contract with the city attorney. And we know that it went back and forth with some items about lowering the fee and extending the contract or something to that extent. At least those discussions were along that line. And the attorney here, Vince Brown, is here. And now my understanding is that none of that has come to fruition at this point, as I've been advised by staff. And we have an invoice in the packet for $34,500, of which incorporates the past due monthly payment of $22,000, which is contractual amount, but it also includes the $2,500 a month payment for the CRA, which we were of the understanding had been voluntarily withheld making those payments because of the lack of real activity with the CRA. Now, in this invoice, we're catching up with those for July, August, September, October, and November. And I wanted to bring this to the committee and make everybody aware that I think there's no question that the money is due for the CRA and for the monthly. But we're kind of not up to date as to where we are with these and why we're paying the CRA payments now, why there's been a change of heart in withholding the money or whatever. So. Attorney or
Frank, I'll take that. Okay. This is Vincent. As you may have been aware, Merritt and I had a conversation. I've had conversation with the mayor. We attempted to get this issue resolved at a special commission meeting last week, and it was moved. It died for lack of a second because some of the commissioners had an issue with it coming up at a special commission meeting, but, you know, I cannot do it by myself. I've acted in good faith to do it and to get it done. But as a business person, you know, I still have obligations to my staff and to my creditors and to my vendors. And so I'm still willing to work with the city to resolve the issue, but I cannot do it alone. And so until we, as a collective body, meaning me and the city commission, you know, come together on that issue and get them to support a resolution to make the adjustments, then the adjustments will be made in terms of, you know, what that invoice represents. It represents the total amount that's due, And, you know, the payment was being withheld not because of the lack of activity, because I deal with the CRA issues even though they don't actively meet. That was withheld because of the city's financial condition and my willingness to assist in defraying some of the costs of the city on a basis until we get some stability in its finances. So that invoice represents what it is. I'm willing to work with the city as I've done in the past. I've not put a foot on the city's neck and demanding payment because I don't operate that way. But I'm willing to work with the city. If the city wants to pay the 22 or something beyond that, that's the city's call. But until we can actually sit down and work with the city on a number, you know, I'm at a loss.
Well, are you still willing to hold the CRA payments in abeyance and go forward with the monthly retainers? I mean, I understand what the contracts say, but again, looking at the financials that we are, I guess I'm also looking at the budget document that's being prepared. These past dues, have they been accounted for so that when we make the, I mean, there'll be a reconciliation, or there should be a reconciliation, at least by the end of November, between the carryovers of last year to this year. Are these past dues accounted for in the upcoming budget, or where would, if we don't pay them now, then where would these funds be coming from to make the payment when they do come due?
It's a line item in the budget for debt that these past dues, to the extent that they are not taken care of beforehand, will be, it's currently in the budget or it's incorporated in the line item labeled debt or something, debt obligation. And it's, I mean, it's a general fund matter, so it'd be a general fund line item.
So it's budgeted in the packet we have now. The latest packet that we received for the budget, these past dues are in there?
Frank, the past due has always been in the budget. Labeled as a line item called debt obligation.
Okay.
So, yes, it's been in there. It's still in there. So this one's been, yes.
Which department and which division or fund does that come from? Is that from the general fund, and is that from the city attorney, or is that under the city manager's debt obligations or some other department?
Okay, it's funded on the general fund, and it can be found on the general government and the city manager's division of the budget.
Okay, and that's the 2015-2016 budget that we're operating under?
No, that's under the 2016-2017 budget that we are
proposing.
The proposed budget that's not been adopted yet.
All right. I just want to be clear.
I'm sorry, Vernita. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm a little confused. I don't think we have authorization to function under the 2016-2017 budget based upon the fact that it hasn't been approved.
No, ma'am, you're right. We don't. We're currently functioning under the 2015-2016 budget by way of a resolution.
So then it becomes a cash flow issue from last year's budget.
I'm sorry, say again?
So does it then become a cash flow issue from last year's budget, the emergency expenditure authority that the commission has extended to the city to operate under the 2015-2016 budget?
I don't quite understand your question.
Let me ask it this way. If we were to pay this today, this comes out of 2015-2016. Is that correct? All of it?
Yes.
All right. Now we do not pay it today. Let's say we pay the $22,000, but we don't pay the CRA, and we get an approved budget coming up here shortly within the next couple of months. We get an approved budget. This CRA carryover, this debt, will be in the 2016-2017 budget. Are we starting to accumulate that now in that budget?
The portion from July to September will be in the debt obligation of the 2016-2017 budget. The portion from October moving forward will be in that current year.
Right, understand.
And so based on that, whatever for the CRA for October and November, based on the fact that we have extended the previous year budget, we could actually pay October and November.
I understand. September, July, August, and September. So what would happen is if those payments were made now, then there would be a reduction in the 16-17 budget to reflect those payments being made out of the 15-16 budget.
All right.
Okay. All right, well, what's I wanted to bring this forward because it's a continuing issue, and I would assume, again, any contract amendment or modifications that are made will not be retroactive. They will be from that point forward, or is that on the table to be negotiated also?
The item that went before the City Commission was to make it retroactive to November 1st.
Okay.
We weren't able to get it done. So the next commission meeting is December 14th. So it would have to be retroactive, because the retroactive December 1st, only because the invoice date is always the first day of the month.
Right.
And so we'd have to make it retroactive back to December 1.
Well, it could be retroactive back to the beginning of whenever the new fiscal year budget takes effect. And if there is an overpayment, if this $22,000 is paid, and let's say it goes to $20,000, then that reconciliation could take place with the next check that goes forward.
Okay.
I'm trying to separate out of two budget cycles, not...
Let me put this on the table.
Okay.
Currently, I deferred back in, I think, May of last year, nearly a $20,000 payment to my firm because of the city's cash flow issues. I've deferred the CRA payment because of the city's cash flow issues. I will continue as best as I can to make sacrifices to assist the city with its cash flow challenges. But at some point, I'm constantly giving and giving and giving and giving and being considerate at the same time. There must be consideration flowing both ways. So whatever commission and I come up with and whatever retroactive date we make it, we'll do that. I will tell the staff so that they can budget it. There's another invoice for outside litigation that's roughly $20,000 that will be coming forward. We'll work with the city on how that payment should be handled. But I'm always willing to work with the city to make sure it can meet its financial obligations beyond the Brown Law Group.
So aside from the past dues on the CRA, there's another ticket out there of about $20,000?
Well, there's one that's been deferred to January 31st of 2017. And then there's another one that has not been, that the invoice should be coming to the City Commission at the meeting on the 14th of about $20,000.
So there's another $40,000.
Absolutely.
All right, so there's another $40,000, and that is taken care of in the debt No,
because they've not received that invoice yet.
No, but the $20,000 one that you way back, that's in the pot now too.
That's in the pot of obligation. Yes.
Right.
The new one he's talking about.
No, I understand that one hasn't come yet. So these past CRAs plus the $20,000 roughly is in the 16-17 budget.
Correct.
And you're not asking right now for that other $20,000. You're just asking for the CRA. That's correct?
That's it.
All right. What's the pleasure of the committee? What's your thoughts?
What's the current cash balance before and after these payments are approved in the general fund?
Well, at the bottom of the balances? I don't have that. I don't have where they're at with cash flow. I've got what the impact is at the bottom of that sheet.
It's 273.
Right. But you also have to keep into consideration that you've got another document that shows they paid with payrolls and deductions another 500 and something thousand.
Yeah.
Right. I understand. But so those are all debited from
the number she will give us.
Let's do this.
The number that we're going to get.
Keeping in mind that there is another payroll that's tomorrow.
Does it require a transfer from the reserve account in order to meet this obligation?
No, not from the reserve account. From the operating account of water and sewer, yes. Not from the, we have not touched the reserve account yet.
But we're into the water and sewer portion now.
We were as of last,
right.
Last payroll, yes.
Right. And what's the balance on that after we make, do we know what that is?
We're getting those now.
Okay. So we'll get a general fund balance and we'll get a water and sewer balance?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Would you be willing to entertain a motion to go ahead and approve all but number six pending the information about available cash flow?
I would certainly entertain a motion to that effect if this, unless there's any other questions on any other. She's saying, would we be willing to entertain a motion to approve all of the other general fund invoices, just hold this one on the side until they come back with the balances?
And before
today,
we take that,
I'm not taking action on it today.
Question, Mr. Chair. The 3 Ford Expeditions for the City Commission, that's for Ford Motor Credit in the amount of $3,600, that's for existing leases for existing cars. Is that correct?
Yes. Number 17?
Yes, sir.
Hang on, I'm looking at staff, but I believe they're all existing.
Yes, they're for existing, Ms. McGill.
Okay. And is that true for number 18 as well?
Right. That's the one that we finally have, I believe, we are now up to date with Bancorp. Is that correct? We got all the past payments due to Bancorp, and this will keep us current with those vehicles that are in the police department?
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yes, sir. That will. We are up to date, and this payment will keep us up to date with vehicles for the police department.
Right. We're trying to keep from falling in arrears on these items and creating these back payments that are due every time we sit down, and it's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
So
happy
and Ford Credit, I'm assuming they're happy we're up to date with them now, too. We've been up to date with Ford Credit.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
For line number 7 on code enforcement consulting services, are we now, as your committee, Mr. Chair, are you now satisfied with the level of detail on the invoices that you're getting for those services and the deliverables?
Yes, okay. We are. In fact, that's where the bulk appears to me that the code enforcement has taken place is with Mr. Cook. And I, if you want to inform the board of the information you gave me at our meeting, so I don't speak for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at, we received $1.2 million from Miami-Dade. I got excited. Forgive me. numbers. I'm sorry.
Talk about John Cook.
My intention, and I think I've mentioned this before, my intention is to remove John Cook from being a contract individual to being an actual employee of the city once the budget is approved. He's been incorporated into the budget. We just haven't had an approval yet. But based upon the approval, my intention is to have John Cook become an actual employee of the city of Opa-locka. Is that what you're talking about, Frank?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, as far as
I'm satisfied with the level of work product that's being produced by Mr. Cook.
Okay, thank you. And items 10, 11, and 12 for off-duty officers, I understand that there may have been some delays in payments and that payments were being held for a period of time and no payments had been actually transmitted to those officers. And notice that these dates on number 10 were August the 6th to August the 19th. Are we sure that these aren't duplicates from something that's already been approved by the committee?
Actually, Ms. McGill, if I may, the reason that those payments are showing with those dates is because what happens is we receive the payment from the individual who contracts with us, and mm-hmm. when we receive those, now we're turning those back around. And so what's happened is these particular payments had not come in yet, and we don't actually give the payments until we've received the payment and the payment is cleared. And so based on that time frame, these are the payments that came in, and that's why they're being paid now.
I see.
They're not duplicates. These are new ones, and we're making sure that the city has been paid before they pay the officers.
Okay. Very good.
And the check's clear.
Thank you. How soon are we going to have a cash balance before and after these payments are approved?
Actually, we have one. I think Charmaine's going to give it to you now.
Okay.
In the general fund account, we have $1.4 million. In water and sewer account, we have $2.99 million in water and sewer.
Okay. So that's before the remittance of these general fund and water and sewer payments and payroll?
Yes, that's before everything is done.
Okay. So really then we would subtract from those totals the amounts of these invoices?
Yes, yes.
So the $500,000 of the two previous payrolls has not been debited from that amount yet? That has, hasn't it?
There's only one payroll that's due tomorrow.
Understand.
Everything else.
So the payroll document that you gave me for $500,000 and change, that's already been debited.
Yes, sir. If you notice, next to each payment date, it indicates how the payment was made. And so, yes, all of these payments have been made.
And
including the ADP payroll fee, which doesn't have an indication, but that's been made.
Right.
So if all of these have been paid, and the contract review committee is just now receiving them, technically they've been paid without authorization. Is that correct?
No, ma'am, it's not.
No.
Previously, we've been advised that with respect to any payroll-related expenses, as long as we detail what they were and how they were paid and whether they were paid, that would be sufficient.
I see. Okay. All right. I just wanted to be sure.
These invoices in front of us today have not been paid. But my question is, have they been debited or encumbered in your cash balances right now, or you're going to subtract these from the balances you're giving us right now?
Okay, these new ones, general fund, will be subtracted from the balance of 1.4.
Okay. Understand. Okay. Same with the water and sewer.
Same, correct.
Okay. Same with the payroll that will take place tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Understand.
Yes, sir.
Well, when I say payroll, it's all those deductions and everything that go with payroll. All right. I'm open to entertain a motion as to how you would like to handle this one. My particular preference is to, if the cash is on hand to be able to pay Mr. Brown in arrears for everything that he's owed, I think it's prudent to make that payment. And then hopefully we can get some movement to work on that contract and get something done before the commission. Because I do believe as a board member that there needs to be some adjustment
and you've got
on
a
what
willing
we're
vendor.
Paying for
yeah,
the
you've
city
got
attorney.
A willing vendor to make adjustments.
Right.
So.
Just so we're clear, in the new budget or the budget of the
so as this is Bernita, I'm going to make a motion to approve invoices 1 through 66 in the amount of $273,203.54 from the general fund on November 29th, as presented.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second, Frank.
Any further discussion on these invoices?
Hey, Frank, this is Angela. I have a question.
Sure.
If there's $1.4 million in the general fund and we're paying about $700,000 in invoices, why would there need to be a transfer from water and sewer?
I apologize. When we made that, when I advised of that, that's before I realized that we received a $1.4 million payment from the ad valorem. So as of right now, there would not need to be a transfer.
Okay.
Right. It would be exhausting their ad valorem before they go into those funds. That was the agreement that we had to have access to the funds and the reserves. So if they've got the cash on hand in the ad valorem or the general fund, then they will make their payments strictly from that until they run to zero.
Okay.
Frank, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
That's the problem. I don't know if this 273 includes, we're adding it up now. I don't know if that includes the Vince Brown because you wanted to discuss it and weren't willing to pay it initially. So we're going to actually add these up to make sure.
No, I think my direction would, Shemeka, was to leave it in and we were going to discuss it. Now, the one that we pulled out was UWS and we showed that as a debit at the bottom of the sheet.
Okay, we're confirming just to make sure. I just want to make sure that the motion is correct.
Give us just a second and we'll have that.
So can I ask a question while we're waiting?
Okay.
This is Angela. We have two state revolving loan payments that are due in December. Will those be lifted like that? The one was on the payroll and other expenses tab. When we see that next month?
Hello?
Hi.
Next month's report will contain those two state revolving loan payments.
Along with the payroll?
Along with payroll.
Okay.
While we're tabulating, do you want to go on with the agenda? We can just hold this in abeyance and we can go on. We have two, we've already talked about the UWS contract, but we do have on the agenda to discuss the employment agreement of the city manager. So if you want, we can get into that and then see what they reconcile on the numbers to make sure we got the correct amount of money.
Okay. We have a motion and we have a second, but we're waiting for the numbers. Is that right?
Right. We're waiting for the numbers, and we can just take that for a moment, and if they come back, we can bring that up.
Okay. I follow you.
Objection. I'll move on to... Number four, review and discussion on the proposed employment contract for the Opa-locka city manager. You know, let me give you my overview or how I see this. Us as a board, we as a board, have a fiduciary responsibility, which is very clear, of trying to get this city financially back on their feet. And in part of doing that, I think we have another obligation to look at all these contracts, just not from a financial standpoint, but from the viability of what the commission has decided to do on this city surviving. And I am not of the opinion that Ms. Harrell has the institutional knowledge and capabilities of running a city as a city manager. It's not an easy thing to say because she's a very nice lady and I enjoy working with her. But the reality is this city is in pretty bad shape, not only financially but operationally. And a lot of times when you choose city managers, commissions have several ways that they go, and a lot of them look on the financial side and they're lacking on the operational side, and some are more operationally oriented and they go that way and they run into problems on the financial side. This city is in disarray operationally. I think we've seen just a little example of it today with some very simple questions about how the contract runs on picking up trash, how tipping fees are handled, how the roll-offs are handled. We've got to go back and look, and we've got to search and look. It puts the manager in a very precarious position when they are ultimately the one responsible and answerable to the elected officials, and the staff does not have some of these answers that are pretty basic at their fingertips as to how operations is going on. Just recently when I came and had the meeting the other day, we had the threat of the hurricane that was just here in the South Florida and did do in the northern part of the state. And I inquired as to where the city was with dealing with state and the county and FEMA. And the answers that I received, I was not very comfortable with, and we pursued it. And I think that it showed up again that operationally, the manager, the existing manager, did not have the expertise to, I don't expect the manager to have all the answers, but a manager needs to be able to ask the right questions. And the questions that I brought forward, I got some incredulous looks back as to how I was coming up with this stuff. But after a little research was done and we connected them with the county, they were able to get squared away to where they are now going to be eligible. And what brought this to a head was there's an invoice from UWS for $177,000, or roughly that, for picking up trash before the storm, which would be category A type of reimbursements that may or may not be eligible for reimbursement. The fact that they had it done does not make it where it's going to be reimbursable. There are going to be questions about regular trash pickup, regular debris pickup, why there was so much debris. And I'm told that there was debris that was removed from private property because of the emergency conditions of the fear of that stuff blowing around. There are rules dealing with FEMA about entering onto private property and performing work on private property that is not reimbursable, that cities take upon at their own risk or through their own insurance. And I'm not sure that the expertise is here to even realize that those obstacles are out there in front of them and recovering this $177,000. But those are things that a manager has to put on that emergency hat when it comes and understand through their charter and through their emergency management plan that also has to be approved by the county, and I'm not sure that's in place in Opa-locka either. And it just reemphasizes to me the concern that I have that the city is not making the best choice on the part of the city to go forward. That being said, as far as the finances of it, I'm not happy with the pay that the city manager has been reduced from 150 to 125. And then I'm told, well, that's the same thing the police chief makes. I believe the will, it, it, she's shaking her head, so I'm certainly going to give you the opportunity to speak. But I believe in our conversation you said you'd be at the same as the chief of police. My recommendation would be to defer any action on this contract until the new commission is fully set, and then remand this back to the commission without our approval and have them review it again and take another vote or affirm the action that was taken by the previous commission that this is the way they want to go.
I'd like to make that motion.
Well, let me just finish. I believe the commission has the right to choose who the manager is, but we also have an obligation to oversee these decisions that they are in the best interest of this community recovering. And I just cannot recommend that this is the best choice that they should make. So my recommendation or my motion or however you'd like to phrase it is that this item be deferred until the full commission is seated, the new commission, and that the item be sent back to them to reaffirm their position that this is the choice that they want to make.
So moved.
Okay, the motion there by, I guess that was Miguel, Melinda,
right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Is there a second? Would the city attorney like, city manager like to speak on this?
But I would. This is Vincent.
I
think that we need to all take a step back and look at 218. We need to look at the executive order and the interlocal agreement to really understand the parameters by which operate under. And then I think that we can have a real legitimate conversation as to where this item properly sits. Furthermore, and this is going outside of legal, when Jackson Hospital was faced with a very similar situation, a very dire situation, and they had professional hospital managers from around the country that operated some of the largest hospital systems around the country. And they went out and hired a banker, Frank McGoy, Carlos McGoy, who had absolutely no hospital administration experience. Within 3 to 5 years later, Jackson is now running a surplus without any real significant support from state funding, with the state allowing other trauma centers to come into the area. So I kind of take a challenge to the fact that when you look at crisis, we operate in a crisis mode and not thinking outside of the box and bringing in fresh and new ideas. If there was a concern, the role and the goal as what the Department of Revenue has done with our finance department, we had the issue with the trim notice, and they've given her much support and much advice. I think that the true benefit of the role that we can all play is to support each other and to guide each other and give them the information that's needed to make them successful, but not hold back information that may appear to be to their detriment that could help them move this city forward. I think that the reason why the governor assembled the board the way that it did, so that each person can bring their own valued expertise to the table to help the city move forward. But under the current circumstances, very few people would have stepped into the shoes that Yvette stepped into and took on the challenge that she's taking on. And with the relative experience of assistant city manager, former police chief, current city manager, you know, finance and accounting directors out of the state, with all the knowledge and information that you all have, collectively, I think that if she needed to pick up the phone and call either one of you with a question, I'm pretty sure you'd be willing to give it to her. And I think that's the role that I think the board is supposed to play, because it's an oversight committee or oversight board. And I think that as I go back to my original comment or statement, let's go back and look at 218. Let's go back and look at the executive order. Let's go back and look at the interlocal agreement, because those are the documents that govern how we are to operate and interact with each other. But I think that given the chance, she can be successful. Given the chance, we can all be successful. But the reality of it is that, you know, the board of directors of Jackson Hospital and the county commission took a risk on Mr. Magoya, and look where Jackson is standing today.
Let me just respond to that for a moment. I think, Vince, a lot of what you said is right on point. But the major question, the point that I'm trying to make is that the individual that sits in that seat as the manager is not expected to know all the answers. But they have to have the background in running a city that they know when to ask the question. And I think, sure, we're available, all of us, to answer whatever we get a call from. I haven't received one call since I've been here on any operational issue. And had I not come to a meeting here on Cairo Lane and interceded probably beyond what I should have by authorization of this board, but brought some common sense from a public works perspective with our public works director to get that project back on track. That's what I'm talking about. That is what is lacking in this seat at the present time. I would consider it going back to the commission with a request that they consider bringing in a deputy manager for the manager that has that operational expertise. But let me tell you, you cannot run a city or a hospital on its financials. The tail cannot wag the dog. The city is not here for the purpose of having a balanced budget. The city is here for the purpose of providing services to the community that they cannot provide to themselves. And there's a financial tag that goes with that that requires that level of expertise. Magoya was able to bring that expertise as the financial side, which, by the way, this current city manager does not have expertise either. We're talking about a person that is an attorney. And so they are at the will or the of the expertise that comes from the staff that is around them, which we have recognized as being weak also. So when you look at it for long term, Magoya had operational people around him that knew how to run a hospital, and he listened to them and he attacked the financial side. And I'm saying to you, from what I observe here, Opa-locka is weak on the financial side and the operational side. And to put a manager in that position that does not have that expertise around them is a recipe for failure. You can't continually be getting on the phone and calling somebody and say, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? So, listen, I'm giving you my opinion from my experience of what I have seen in cities, and primarily in the city of Miami, and now with 3.5 years in North Bay Village. There are a multitude of things that come across my desk that if I didn't have the experience that I've had to be able to go back and say, hey, wait a minute. How about this? Did you look at that? Well, we didn't look at that. Well, you have to ask the question. And that's the only thing I'm trying to bring to light here. And I'm concerned. My overall concern is for this city surviving. It needs to survive financially, and it needs to survive operationally. And at some point, we're going to go away, and I would like to go away thinking that we've left it in good hands. And I've got grave concerns at this point that the right individual is sitting in that seat, and I have no problem saying that because that's what I see.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of remarks that I'd like to make, and I respect where you're coming from, but I have a concern about this contract from a fiscal standpoint. This contract is binding on the city and the city manager for a period of 24 months. It does favor the city manager for termination without cause, rather than putting the city in a fiscally in the driver's seat as it relates to severance. It also articulates a 12% retirement in addition to the FRS with a base salary of $125,000. It also allows the city manager to receive an executive insurance package at $600 per month. It allows for the payment of a life insurance policy at 2 times the city manager's annual base salary. It allows for the payout of certain leave provisions in the event of separation. It allows for 15 days sick leave and 25 days vacation leave. It allows a $600 a month automobile allowance for a car. It allows for the reimbursement at a dollar figure not articulated for a credit card, for a computer, software, training. It allows the continuation of representation for clients in a legal practice outside of the top priority as city manager. It talks about specification of severance pay, not to exceed 20 weeks of salary in the event of severance. It goes into at least $155,000 worth of expenditures for salary and benefit a year, plus some non-quantifiable amounts of benefits that are not specified in terms of travel and training and membership dues, so they are not specific to the financial limits of this contract. So from a fiscal standpoint, this contract, I think, is not as sound as it should be on behalf of the city's interests. And so I hear and respect your position about the city manager's expertise and the need for a professional city manager in this form of government. My objections, based upon the motion that I was attempting to make earlier, is very focused on the financial aspects of this contract, and would recommend that we send this back to the commission for revisiting for a more fiscally responsible contract, for something that is more fiscally conservative for the in favor of the city's interests, and be more specific in certain terms of that contract so that it would be clear the limits of certain fiscal benefits provided to the city manager. So that would be my motion, and would defer back to you for follow-up.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second to the motion that was made by Mr. Gill?
Second. This is Marie.
Any further discussion on the motion? This is to defer or return this back to the commission based on the financial issues that were brought to light in this motion. Any further discussion?
Well, this is Marie. I just want to echo what Melinda said, that those were my concerns about the contract, that there were those expenses that are not defined, and that it does not seem like a fiscally conservative contract that favors the city when you look at things, for example, like the automobile allowance of $600 per month rather than having it structured on a mileage basis. So I agree with her concerns.
I agree with Melinda's fiscal evaluation. I think that's appropriate. But I also want to, you know, talk about this city from the standpoint of knowing what its history is with previous managers. And maybe the look should consider other managers in similar cities and comparing the benefits here to other cities as well, other benefits that are in that contract or what other city managers get. Because I do think this position is one that requires a special person and a hard work, as well as some benefit for the work. And the question is, are other managers in other cities getting similar, you know, perks or benefits as they perform their job?
So if I amended my motion to include a comparable to another similarly sized city, is that something you'd entertain, Mr. Chair?
Yes, we can amend the motion to include that.
Are you agreeable, Marie?
I am.
She says she is, and she's right here with me. Sorry.
Okay, so on the motion as amended, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, the motion passed as amended. All right. We've talked about number five. We've taken care of the invoices. Is there any old business to come before the committee? Any new business to come before the committee?
I'm sorry, are we still waiting on that figure?
No, didn't we?
It is included?
We did that, right?
No, we have to take a vote on the motion.
The motion
that I made on the general fund still stands as articulated. The amount is correct.
Right, we went through this, and it's included in there. Mr. Brown's is in there. Okay. So the motion stands. Do we need to reiterate it? It's for the given amount that's on the bottom of page.
No, let's take a vote, Frank.
Just take a vote. All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign. Okay. Any new business come before this committee?
Frank, I have a question, and maybe this is something that the full Financial Emergency Board needs to take up, but it was brought to my attention, I believe it was by either Patty or Heather, in conversations with the city manager that this body was not in fact receiving all expenditures in advance of payment. Should we discuss that in this committee or save it for the full Financial Emergency Board to clarify what financial oversight we're providing as a body?
I mean, is somebody saying that there are payments being made outside of what we approve here or payroll related?
That is my belief, I can't recall at this point if I heard that from Patty or if that was based upon our last review of some expenditures where it appeared that there were certain things that we were not approving.
And Melinda, Patty, I'm here. I'm on the phone. You want me to address this a little bit?
Yes.
I think I can help.
Okay.
So I think originally the concern came a long time ago when I was reconciling the checks written with the invoices that had been approved by this committee and the full board. I think that the concern after we found out at either the last meeting or the meeting prior, I can't remember now, that salary-related expenses that this committee had approved to be paid outside of the committee but were being paid. But in addition, the bond payments and state revolving loan payments were also being made outside of this committee. I think it kind of just refocused a little bit on the concern that payments were being made outside of the financial oversight of the Financial Emergency Board. So what I've done is asked for the city to send me their check register on a weekly basis. And they are doing that. I've received two now. Of course, last week's was very small because it was such a short week. But what I thought I would do, in addition to the fact that they're bringing the payments that are made outside of the committee, the salary-related expenses, the state revolving loan and the bond payments, they're bringing those and at least informing the committee of those after the fact. And then my review of the check register, I'm hoping we'll be able to get a more full picture of whether or not that's happening. So perhaps we're kind of in the middle of resolving that situation, but I'll know better after a few more weeks of receiving the check register and looking through those payments that are made. I think, though, that one more issue that raised this concern was the Avanti issue, which we'll discuss in the Financial Emergency Board meeting, because it came to light as an emergency expenditure, therefore it hasn't gone through the contract committee. So we'll discuss that under the Financial Emergency Board's agenda, but I think the fact that we found out that Avanti personnel had started work under a contract before that contract had been approved as an emergency expenditure highlighted this issue again. So I think that's why it seems so much on the forefront, is that those things that I just went through, you know, have happened in sequential and chronological order. So I think we'll discuss Avanti during the Financial Emergency Board meeting, and I think what we'll find out is that the actual agreement is between Avanti and the county. But we'll find out more about that in a little while. But I think also me just going through the check register and comparing it to the invoices approved will give us a higher comfort level. Other than that, if you want more oversight or if you want us to do more, we can discuss that now or later after we've looked at the check register for a few weeks.
Okay, well that's perfect, Patty. That's exactly what I needed. So.
Okay, great.
All right. Another issue that I would like to just have our legal counsel take a look at that Vince brought up is that I certainly would like us to stay within the parameters of what our charge is from the governor. And if there's some question about discussions that we're having here that Mr. Heekin feels are inappropriate, I would sure like him to take a look at that and advise us of that fact. I know we have a primary financial responsibility here, but as you look at the finances, can't help but look at the operations that are impacting all these finances and the overall picture. And, you know, hopefully the board is entitled to do that. So I'd ask to take a look at that on behalf of the committee and the board so that we don't stray into areas that we shouldn't. I have no problem if he advises us that we shouldn't be talking about a certain topic or in a certain way. But you can bet that down the road, if there is a regression after we're gone, somebody's going to point to this board and say, what did they do? What did they see? What did they know? And why didn't they say something? So I would prefer that we discuss these different types of things that any board member has that would like to bring forward, as long as we are not in some violation of the charge that we have from the governor. With saying that, if there's no other business.
I do. Procedural. I noticed in the past two agendas there is a expedited expenditure approval process that is appearing on the Financial Emergency Board side, but not on our contract review side.
Right, we don't see it.
Perhaps this is a little backwards in that we need to be taking these up into consideration as we look at the rest of the invoices that are due in that particular cycle.
Well, I've thought about that, and my take on it is that those items that are taken out as an emergency, it's because somebody has determined from staff that they are an emergency, and either the chair of the board or the vice chair has concurred and has approved those. I do not see them coming back to us that we would take some of their – they've been approved, the same as the ones that we're doing here through the regular process. And then they come to the full committee or the full board, and we as board members then have an opportunity to, you know, say we agree with it or we don't. But I don't know if it's counterproductive for those to come back to us again.
So my question stands, as we ask how much is the cash balance in the general fund and the water and sewer, we are taking into consideration the things that are in front of us at the contract review committee, but we're not taking the $8,000.
I understand your question. I would think that when we ask for balances, all of the charges that have debited that account are going to be taken into consideration. There's emergencies, there's payroll, there's those bond payments or whatever that have not come before us, or loan payments that have to be made, that those when we say what's the bottom line, that staff is taking all of those into consideration and telling us what the bottom line is. The ones that come before us is only a piece. So, I mean, is that...
This is Patty. Can I comment just briefly on that?
Sure.
The first thing I wanted to say is that when I review emergency expenditure requests when I receive them, we focus, or I try to focus on the amount that needs to be spent only before your committee meets or the financial emergency board meets or both. So, in other words, if there's an item that's going to be recurring, and you'll see a couple of these when we get to the financial emergency board meeting today, one of which is a request that the meter readers go back to 40 hours a week. I was very uncomfortable with that request because it is ongoing and something that I think the committee should probably look at. So you'll see that the vice chair structured the approval to be limited to, you know, one payroll, and then it needs to be reviewed by your committee. So I'm trying to make sure that items that are going to be recurring come back to your committee. And then a suggestion is that anything that's been paid as an emergency expenditure, perhaps be added to that list with the payroll and the payroll expenses and the bond payments and the state revolving loan and presented to the contracts review committee when it meets for the very same reason that the payroll amounts have been asked to be provided, so that you can see exactly what's being spent and how it's affecting the bottom line.
I would agree with that. Thank you.
I agree with that as well, but procedurally, how we do that, I would suggest that when the committee meets, the contract review committee meets, that the city provides a summary of the emergency requests that have been made prior to that date.
Right. In other words, we did get a list. We did get the payroll, so we saw what that was, but we haven't seen the other ones.
That's right.
We haven't seen the other ones. And also, there was another document that you received in your packet that was requested of what are the outstanding amounts due employees that have been severed that have not been paid. So there's another about $80,000, as I recall, that document that's hanging there too, which I assume is in the debt obligation in the 16-17 budget. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that $80,000 is shown in there also.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything further? Anything else to come before this committee? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Vernita. So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
All right. The next meeting will start. We'll take probably about a 15-minute break, and we'll get started for the next meeting. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair.
finally got to the length that I wanted. It was too short. Okay.
I'm just giving you the point where I'm thinking,